Hey, I'm Eric Etheridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We're back once again for another episode of Prairie Beat,
our weekly discussion of news headlines out of the Prairie Public Newsroom. Okay, Danielle, what is on the beat this week?
Okay, well, I feel like in the last several days or so, we've lived several lifetimes, right? The news moves pretty fast these days. It's really hard to keep up. But so by now, most people are probably aware of the incident in Minneapolis last week where an ICE agent shot a woman in her car. That agent has been identified as Jonathan Ross. The woman was identified as Renee Nicole Macklin Good.
A woman is dead, and I think everybody feels awful and maybe even helpless about that. You're not wrong about it feeling like a lot has happened in the last several days. That shooting, now, I think, to set up the context for it, happened after some ramped up ICE presence and enforcement in Minnesota following federal attention on fraud in Minnesota, specifically focusing on Somali residents. Now, officials there have been working on those cases for a while and have prosecuted people involved. At the beginning of this month, the Trump administration deployed about 2,000 ICE agents to the Minneapolis-St. Paul area.
That's correct. And that's actually more officers than there are in Minneapolis and St. Paul police departments combined. So it's a sizable deployment. And as we've seen play out in media reports and on social media, it's a pretty aggressive and sweeping enforcement campaign. They've been very visible in those communities, which has led to protests. Now, when ICE encountered Renee Good in a Minneapolis neighborhood, that did result in her losing her life. And the community has continued to respond to that. Lots of protests have been ramping up. The state of Minnesota has announced they are suing the Trump administration to block the ICE action in their state. And then just yesterday, we learned that six prosecutors, including Minnesota's U.S. Attorney Joe Thompson, have resigned because the Trump administration was pressuring them to investigate Renee Good's wife instead of what happened between Good and ICE.
And in a little ironic twist, those prosecutors were investigating those fraud cases, which was the pretext to come into Minnesota anyway by ICE. So, yeah, now in the days after the shooting in Minneapolis, ICE presence has really fanned out all over the rest of the state. We've been hearing reports about Detroit Lakes and Pelican Rapids, a couple of towns close to our listening area. There have also been citizen reports, and the verification isn't always as concrete, but that ICE has been spotted around the Fargo-Moorhead area. I've heard that anecdotally, Danielle. I know you have. I think when people look at these media reports and discuss it in social media and see some of these videos, now, at least this is how I feel. I'm sorry to say, but it's very scary. It's very unsettling. Some folks like to say, you know, if you're not undocumented or not a criminal, you don't have much to worry about. You've got nothing to hide. No worries. Well, okay, but we keep seeing these reports and stories of U.S. citizens getting detained and swept up in these ICE raids. And unfortunately, in the case of Renee Good, as well as others before her, we are seeing people lose their lives. That's scary to me.
And that's okay. You know, I always tell people that, I tell my kids specifically, your feelings are okay to have. If you're scared, that's fine to feel. But what do you do with those feelings? This week, I talked to somebody about that.
This is a public service announcement.
Cody Schuler. I'm the advocacy manager for ACLU North Dakota.
ACLU, of course, is the American Civil Liberties Union. They're a nonpartisan national organization that defends individual rights and liberties guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution, and each state has their own chapter.
Yeah, okay, I'm listening.
I do not tell my kids this, but I do tell worrywarts in my life that worrying is not a productive thing to do. Now, that's not to say that worrying isn't normal or that I myself never worry, but again, it just doesn't accomplish much. So if you're watching what's been going on in Minnesota and you're having some concerns, Cody Schuler says the ACLU has resources available, and that starts with just being aware of the rights that you have just by virtue of you standing on U.S. soil.
Every person, regardless of your status, citizens, documented, undocumented individuals, all have guarantees of a certain amount of rights underneath the Constitution of the United States. It applies. And so what's really important is for people to know that they are protected, that their status does not necessarily determine what rights apply or don't apply.
Cody says the North Dakota ACLU website has a lot of information on there, but the best resource is really the national ACLU website. And he told me if you just Google ACLU immigration or ACLU know your rights, the page will come up. And I went to this website, and it has this whole section with drop-downs about what to do if you're approached and asked about your immigration status, what to do if you're stopped in traffic, or even what to do if there's a knock on your door. For example, if you get a knock on your door, there's this section of the website that instructs people to stay calm, to know that you can remain silent and that you don't have to let anyone into your home without a signed warrant from a judge, or if law enforcement doesn't have probable cause to believe a person in your home that they're looking for is even there, you don't have to open the door to them.
Okay, so it sounds like Fourth Amendment stuff to me, Danielle, but, you know, the vice president has said, others have said, that ICE agents are going to start going door to door in Minnesota. So if there's a knock at your door, you can say, hey, you need a warrant to enter, or do they just bust it down? Where's the law here?
So the Fourth Amendment, like you just mentioned, that's the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. It protects people from unlawful or unreasonable searches and seizures by the government. Like you said, that doesn't mean you can't ever be searched or that somebody won't knock down your door, but you are protected from unlawful or unreasonable searches.
I would hope so. So, okay, so let's say I get all my reading done. And I know my rights backwards and forwards. I got a constitution in my pocket, let's say. What happens if I'm detained anyway?
Good question. So I asked Cody about that. There are resources from the ACLU about that as well. He says it's good to go through and really familiarize yourself with a number of scenarios that may happen, like getting stopped if they knock on your door, if you're contacted by the FBI or whatever. But he also says it's good to have a plan.
One of the things that we're promoting at the ACLU is a family safety plan. Actually, on our website, we have a downloadable PDF, multiple pages. It has information on there. It has QR codes. It has websites. And then it also has, you know, fill in the blank to be able to put information together so that you and your family are prepared, regardless of what takes place. And so that would be the first part. You're familiarizing yourself with your rights, and then you're tracking, making sure that you have phone numbers of attorneys and a variety of things so that you know who to call, who your loved ones would know who to call, and that plans are in place and that you've documented that somewhere and that you have that available for your family.
So did Cody have anything to say about what we're hearing a lot of from the Twin Cities, trained observer classes? One of the claims about Renee Good was that she may have been a trained observer, quote unquote.
There are no current resources from the ACLU North Dakota on how to become a trained observer, but there are other resources online about that. So you can Google that and kind of see what's out there. Again, this goes back to the rights people have in this country as citizens and non-citizens. So, for instance, I know as a reporter and as a private citizen, I learned this a long time ago, like back in communication school. I can take pictures, and really anyone can, if I am on public property. It's actually legal, and I'm not saying this is like good ethics or the right thing to do or anything, but it is legal for me to take a picture of you inside your house if I can see you through your window and I'm on a public sidewalk. So yeah, there are legal rights for trained observers. You can't impede or interfere or obstruct any actions or investigations, but there are legal rights to observe actions, and there are online courses that do teach that.
Yeah, you think of Google Maps, right? I mean, they're on every street taking 360-degree photographs. I mean, maybe they're peering into your window by incidental or by accident, but there you go. Is the ACLU of North Dakota kind of bracing itself for any increased ICE activity in North Dakota?
He did say what they're doing is they're monitoring what's going on in Minnesota and keeping an open dialogue with their partners in that state. And another thing he said that I think is important is that while people are familiarizing themselves with the laws of this country and their own individual rights, citizen and non-citizen, etc., part of that may be encountering situations, and we alluded to this before, you know, where your rights are violated. And he said that starting with knowing your rights and having those plans in place for if that were to happen, it puts you on a more solid footing. He also said that a lot of people assume that the ACLU has like this massive bank of lawyers at the ready and that you can call them up and they'll connect you and get to work on, you know, fixing everything for you. But that's just a bit inaccurate. They do work on what he called cases of impact. But he says any attorney who works in immigration or civil rights would be someone you would want to look at. And the resources from the ACLU are there to kind of help you get in that direction and familiarize yourselves with that.
Well, certainly a lot of pretty interesting and very important information there, Danielle. It was very helpful as a neighboring state of Minnesota, too. Now, you know, you would think that President Trump is not targeting red states, but you never know. I mean, Minnesota is right next to North Dakota, obviously, and so you never know what might actually happened. It's undoubtedly on the minds of many people in North Dakota and pretty much everywhere right now. So with that, is there really anything else going on in North Dakota or the region this week, Danielle?
Well, we did have a story from Mike Moan this week about small towns in Minnesota worrying about ICE presence.
The community has worked hard to make them feel welcome.
The State Board of Higher Education has recommended three candidates to fill the vacancy on that board after Levi Bachmeyer was appointed state school superintendent.
I'm personally deeply passionate about ensuring that people do not feel like schools are political in any way.
And 2025 was apparently a good year for sunflowers in the state. And as a North Dakota farm kid who took a lot of family pictures in those sunflower fields over the years, that was kind of neat for me to see.
North Dakota's back up over $1 billion of production.
Ending on sunflowers, not a bad thing. It just reminds us of the beauty that is in our area that's just around the corner. Well, thanks for all that, Danielle. Lots of stuff to keep up with on the day-to-day and week-to-week in the Prairie Public Newsroom.
Absolutely. Be sure to tune into Prairie Public for more news or check us out online at news.prairiepublic.org.
All right, that'll do it for us this week on Prairie Beat. I'm Eric Etheridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat next week. We'll be right back.